What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, Sunday edition. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host of the daily CBS Sports NFL podcast. Grind it out all through the weekend. We're usually just Monday through Friday, but with the combine here, live from Indianapolis, and frankly, with some co-workers of mine begging me to join the show, like Jamie Eisenberg, I agreed to do a Sunday podcast just for Jamie. So, Jamie?
Well, you should before you go into all the fabulous content you have planned for today.
Oh, boy.
You should tell a story about what happened to you on the streets in Indianapolis.
Oh, Jamie's reading my mind.
On Friday
night.
It was awesome. We ran into a group of listeners, and I guess we'll find out if they are listening to this show.
Well, let's see. See, this happens to us on the fantasy show, you know, once in a blue moon as well. Did you get their names so you can actually say their names on the show?
Yeah. I bought them drinks at Prime, actually. I bought them some Tito's.
Were they all underage? No, I'm kidding.
I hope not. He hesitated.
Yeah, I think I bought some Tito's and water with, at Prime, and, we ran into, I don't remember who is who on name wise, so sorry in advance, guys. Also, you know.
The group of fine young men that you met at
But the funny part about it is that we're walking down the street.
Please tell the true part of the story.
I'm telling the true part of the story. You listen to me. They're walking down the street, and these guys are like, yo! Is that Pete Briscoe? And Pete's like, yeah. And they go, you're on the Pick Six podcast, right? That happened.
They said, where did they hear him first?
And he was mad. Pete was pissed.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Because Pete fancies himself a celebrity. He won't tell you that, but he does. Right, Jamie?
Oh, for sure.
Like, he is 100%.
I mean, he's sitting over there in all his glory.
Yeah.
Trying to pretend like he's doing work.
Pete likes to complain when we ask him to do stuff, and then he does it anyway. Same thing with his celebrities. Like, I'm not famous. I'm just a guy. And then, but like, he knows he's a, yeah. He had a Jaguars fan walk over here.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
And like, get a picture with him and all that. But yeah, these guys were podcast listeners and, for IU grads, and they came to Prime and hung out for a little bit. And I think they were like, it's pretty nuts. So like, they came into the, you know, I was like, y'all should walk in. They're like, we can't get in there. I was like, it's an open bar. Anybody can walk in. And I was sitting there talking to him in Prime, and like John Elway comes walking by, and then you know, Howie Roseman strolls by.
Yep.
It was a Saturday night out in Indy was chock full of NFL celebrities, you know.
And you blew us off.
That's 100%.
I didn't blow you off. I was at the bar getting beers. I texted Ryan. I said, "What do you guys need drinks?" And he said, "No, we're leaving."
Do I need to go to the receipts?
I mean, you've been lying all week long about me. You've been like, see. Jamie and Pete are noted instigators.
I know what you're talking about.
And they're open about it. And I get it. That's fine. Ryan is a quiet instigator.
Oh, stop.
Ryan likes to act like he's like a nice person and a good human. He gets off on getting Pete riled up at like something with me. Like he'll go and tell Pete some sort of gossip.
Let me explain to you as I check the receipts because of my OCD. If you text me, I text you back within the minute almost always.
That is false. So not this weekend.
You texted me at 11:30 last night. 11:27, do I need a drink? Because you came into the bar, but we hadn't found each other because it was packed. At 11:27.
This is on the air, right? We're talking about this.
Yeah. I said no because we're getting ready to leave. And then I say at 11:33, we're leaving because we still haven't found you. You haven't texted back. I hear from you 6 minutes later. Where are y'all? But I was walking home.
Right. You didn't wait to hear back from me. You just left. I didn't ditch you. You ditched me, dude.
Well, no. You ditched us
right
when you found your fans.
To listeners of the
you
podcast.
You sign autographs?
Look, no, I didn't sign autographs.
You take pictures?
Yeah, of course.
100%.
I got a picture of my phone with him. I was going to tweet it out. I forgot. Look, I'm a man of the people. I'm a blue-collar guy.
Where'd you get that?
At the Brinson compound. Yeah. We pretend that we're a man of the people.
Hand in the dirt, blue-collar. Ryan Wilson also on the podcast today with me. We're going to have Chris Trapasso join us to talk some NFL draft. But let's get down to business here, gentlemen. The quarterbacks through. We went over to Yard House, had ourselves a nice little lunch, watched the quarterbacks throw, watched NC State lose a basketball game, and I frankly wasn't impressed with the quarterbacks. What about you, Jamie?
I think Locke did some nice things. I think Ryan Finley's getting some nice praise from the DraftNicks on Twitter.
Ryan Finley is?
I haven't asked our own DraftNick yet what his opinion is, but I'm sure he'll give it now. So those two guys, I think, kind of helped themselves in terms of the throwing. The kid from Buffalo, Jackson, right?
I forget his first name.
Yeah, he ran.
Freak athlete.
Yeah, ran well. I don't know how well he threw today. And I think the guy that's kind of getting picked apart a little bit which you might expect is based on his, what you expect how he would throw, is Trace McSorley.
Yeah. Sure.
So he did not have a good day. So
I don't know if picked apart a little bit is really the accurate way to describe that. I would say Trace McSorley is getting Hackenberged.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a small guy. He ran a 4.5 something, just under 4.6. He actually was asked to try out with the defensive backs, so the conversation is more about him not being a quarterback in the NFL. I don't think that's a surprise. But Haskins looked...
Yeah, that's cool. Adam Schefter reported that one team asked him to work out with the DBs, which is insane.
Yeah, there was
a couple other guys
we can talk about. But Ed Oliver was asked to work out as a linebacker. Hakeem Butler, who ended up running a sub-4.5 as a wide receiver, 6'6 out of Iowa State, was asked tight ends. But McSorley, we know he's not going to be a day two pick, and he may be drafted in the sixth or seventh round as a projection to do something else. But I thought Dwayne Haskins looked like he was going about 75%, and that's okay. I mean, again.
Look, you don't have to cape up for your boy.
Here's the thing. You
admit that Dwayne Haskins had a bad day throwing the football.
No, he didn't have a bad day. But
he didn't have a good day. He didn't help himself.
So just based on what the perception of Haskins is today, leaving the combine, which quarterback?
Kyler.
Helped themselves the most.
Kyler helped
about,
him. Kyler
you and Pete Prisco were yelling and screaming about how he needs to work out, Kyler Murray does.
I didn't say that.
And I said, well, what happens?
I never said that.
If he short hops a few passes. So Dwayne Haskins competed today.
No, I agree. I think there's nothing beneficial for most of these quarterbacks to come and throw at the combine. Like if Kyler Murray makes every throw, it's like, well, he's supposed to. And if he misses a bunch of throws and he gets...
Dwayne Haskins didn't miss any throws. He was just throwing 75%.
He didn't look like he was the most complete quarterback in this draft.
He didn't look comfortable under center.
Yeah,
that's not a problem.
So if you're a team that's picking at the top that needs a quarterback, or may trade up to get a quarterback, Giants,
Jags, Dolphins,
Redskins, you know, any of those teams, and you're coming away from forget about the NFL personnel, fan, which quarterback do you want?
I want Kyler.
Kyler.
Yeah, I in these mock drafts, I have him going first because I feel like he'll bring more excitement to the organization. He can play more immediately.
If I'm a Dolphins fan or a Redskins fan,
yeah.
you know what I want? I don't want him to take anybody.
No, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I want him taking Kyler Murray.
No way.
I think.
Don't take anybody.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Stink this year.
Well, look, you're not going to hire Brian Flores to come down there and win two football games.
Why not?
Keep Adam Gase. I mean, why all the appeals?
Adam Gase can't stop winning seven. I think if you're a Dolphins fan or a Redskins fan.
You do like Major League. You strip them of all the players.
Yeah, right.
Do you think it's a bad idea, though, now that I'm thinking about it, to take one of those guys, not obviously mortgage your future, but take them in the right spot?
And then, about next year?
Not next year, but 2 years with Lawrence.
Then that's going to be a track race to who's going to get. There's only one Lawrence.
But you're saying take one of what guys?
If you are so enamored with, let's just say for whatever reason, Murray slips.
Sure.
You don't have to give up everything to move into the top five or top three, whatever the case may be. And he's bad.
Yeah.
2 years from now, you could be in the same spot anyway.
No, I don't think you want to do that. But I'm saying I think that there are quarterbacks coming out in the next 2 years that I would rather have than Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins. So what I would do is I would pass on that, and I would say I'm going to get my quarterback later. Look, the Redskins are a different situation because Jay Gruden is...
But you need to win now.
Not if you're the Dolphins.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But the Jags do.
Yeah, right. The Jaguars are a different situation. Redskins are a different situation.
How do you sell it to an owner? Hey, don't worry about this year. We're all good.
You say, I have a long-term plan.
The Dolphins owner has said that, the reports have indicated that.
You
forget
say,
about
I have a long-term plan.
Even in 2019 with the new coach?
That they have indicated that they do not mind building from the bottom up to get to the point that they want to get to, which I think would indicate not necessarily mortgaging the future, unless they believe that one of these two kids or Locke or Jones or whoever.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather have Josh Rosen than Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins?
No, I've been saying that all the time. Baker, Sam, Josh Rosen.
So if you're the Redskins,
if you're Bruce Allen. I'm not crazy about Allen.
If you're Bruce Allen, you call Steve Keim and say, look, dude, I'll give you 50. I got this look, dude thing I'm getting from Prisco. It was annoying. I keep saying it. You say, listen, man, I'll give you 15 for Josh Rosen. You can take Kyler Murray at 1, and then you can grab your defensive lineman, your pass rusher at 15. What do you think?
I think that's a wonderful idea.
The Redskins should do that.
By the way, Kim Jones said this on Friday, I believe, on air, quote, in terms of Murray, people are beginning to believe almost universally he will indeed be the number one pick by the Arizona Cardinals. That seems insane to me, not because Kyler doesn't necessarily fit in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury, because he does, but if you're Steve Keim, you're saying, I'm an idiot because I drafted Josh Rosen last year, and now I'm going to do a redo and don't worry about it.
I agree. I agree. That is, it is a aggressive and bold move if you end up doing that. But if you, I also agree with the idea that if you are going to be all in on Cliff Kingsbury, then you have to get him the quarterback that fits his system. And if Josh Rosen isn't that guy, then you, and Kyler Murray is,
right,
then you have to go get him Kyler Murray.
It's a rare scenario that they have the option, if they find a trade partner, to make it work.
Sure.
Because if you can, like, the draft is deep at defensive line. The draft is, you know, for what their needs are. You know, the, I don't know, offensive line, but you would be able to speak
bad, yeah.
But defensive line for sure. So if they think that there's a second tier defensive lineman that they get at 15,
like Christian Wilkins,
yeah, and there's talk
Montez Sweat, Brian Burns,
then you come out of the draft with the quarterback you want and a defensive lineman that certainly can help you. That's a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a win. But are they getting a top 15 pick for Josh Rosen? That's the question.
I think that
I was looking down. Did we discuss the Dolphins willingly trading 13 for Josh Rosen?
We didn't. I don't think.
Who's the quarterback?
They're not worried about it. They're not. I'm telling you, they're not worried about it.
I would imagine Brian Flores on some level is he's not worried about it.
No, they're certainly worried about it, but it's not necessarily, I think, a thing that.
Here's the thing.
I think they'd be fine with
Tannehill,
Bridgewater. No, I don't think Tannehill. I think it's Jacksonville, Miami. I think they just have to cut ties with the guys that they have, just from a public perception.
Sure.
But I think Bridgewater or Tyrod Taylor, or, you know, if they decide that Foles is cheap enough to get in that mix, Case Keenum once he's let go, those guys are going to be the ones that they look at if they don't get a rookie.
And here's the reality of the situation. If you're Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the now GM, fully empowered GM, if you draft a quarterback at 13, you just started your clock. And that means you have several years before the owner starts saying, why does your quarterback stink? Why does Daniel Jones stink? Why did you draft him at 13?
Do you think, though, if it's not the top two guys, that's still the case? Because in theory, you're right.
At 13,
In theory, you're right.
This is why Mike Maccagnan took Christian Hackenberg in the second round. He thought he was a legitimate prospect, and he didn't think if he took a second rounder that the clock would tick. But it's the Jets, it's Hackenberg.
Why would he think that?
I don't know. He's an idiot. I don't know.
But
it's fine. He got it right. He got Sam Darnold. He's fine. But if you're the Dolphins and you go into this year knowing that, you know, the Jets are probably going to be a little bit better, the Bills will probably be a little bit better, the Patriots are the Patriots, you have an uphill battle even if you get a stud rookie quarterback. Go in and stink, get a top five pick next year, get the quarterback, whether it's Tua or who else is coming up?
Herbert.
Jake
right.
Fromm, Shea Patterson, there'll be a few guys, We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, who knows? Like,
we were talking about Kyler a year ago.
For sure. But to me, that's the play for the Dolphins. You don't need to rush it. If you didn't rush it last year when there were four good ones and you had a top 10 pick or top 11 pick or whatever it was, then you don't need to rush it this year.
I think all these teams that don't have the quarterback solved should take the Colts model. Build around them. I mean, the Colts are in a weird situation because they had the franchise quarterback coming off of injury. But look what he walked back into.
Yeah.
He walked back into an offensive line that you could argue is top five in the NFL, and that's certainly helped their whole franchise right now.
They have a ton of cap space, too.
Yeah. The bench press is going to start in 15 minutes.
You're up, Brenton.
For the bench press?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do one. I'm not even kidding.
How many push-ups can you do?
I do. Right, like right now?
Yeah.
If I got down on the ground, I could do 50 push-ups.
5-0?
50?
Yeah. I'll bet
in
you
how long?
Yeah.
A couple hours.
Okay, that's a follow-up question.
No, I mean, what would be a surprising number?
20.
I could do 20 push-ups.
Could you do 20 in a minute?
Ooh.
Maybe.
All right, well, we're going to take a break.
No, we're not going to take a break.
Yeah, we are, because Chris Trapasso is going to come on. I'm going to go step off, and you're going to do 20 push-ups.
I'm not doing 20 push-ups.
I'll throw up.
You just said you could do it.
Maybe you'll throw up.
We'll put a barf bag down there.
I'm not going to eat lunch and then do 20 push-ups in a suit.
You're not doing sit-ups.
You take your jacket off. You'll be fine.
Take your shirt
off. How many push-ups do you think Pete Prisco can do in a minute?
Well, he has short arms. He can do 50 push-ups in a minute.
He is the shortest arm.
Hold on. Hey, Pete. Come here for a second.
This is a conversation he had.
How many push-ups could you do in a minute? Could you do 50 in a minute?
Andy's like, I can do 50. How many can you do? Yeah.
Oh my God.
No way.
Will doesn't think he can do 20.
Andy's like jumping out of his seat.
Andy doesn't think I can do 20? No.
We didn't say no. We just were curious.
How many do you think you could do?
I mean, I think I could do 20 in a minute.
You could do 20.
Yeah.
We're going to find out in about 2 minutes.
I'm not doing push-ups.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know if listeners of this podcast are fully aware of what goes into spending a weekend with Pete Prisco at a work event. Last night at dinner, Pete just comes down. Pete pretended. This is a classic. Hold on, Pete. Keith's going to set up your microphone there. Pete pretended he was a judge and proceeded to put me on trial for an hour and a half.
Because you
lied to me.
You called Ryan Wilson a liar.
And it was pretty clear once things got through that Ryan was, in fact, a liar.
Get out of here.
No, he wasn't.
That I was not guilty.
No, you were a terrible defendant.
Were it not for a... Yeah, I was guilty of treason.
He went in with it, like you said, with a traffic ticket, and he had a murder charge by the end of it.
It was awful. Were it not for a robust conspiracy,
I'll get out of here.
Of people to pick on me, I would have been scot free. Thank goodness, Jason Lockefort was there for a hung jury.
When I was asking you questions, you babbled more than you do on this podcast.
No, it's because Dane and Jason were screaming.
No,
about
they
the
weren't.
Email.
Well, that got a little out of hand. But
yeah, what did you think about the quarterback throw today?
Mez was just okay.
Mez
means half and half.
He thought that Dwayne Haskins had a terrible day.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great though.
He did not improve his style. I mean, like,
and what's the takeaway from that? That's why Kyler Murray doesn't have to throw.
It doesn't matter.
He has moved Kyler Murray above Dwayne Haskins based on.
I had Kyler Murray above Dwayne Haskins.
So Pete, I'll ask them the same question. If you're a fan of one of the teams in the market for quarterback, after everything that's happened at the combine, who do you want? As a fan.
Me?
As if you're a fan, yeah.
Oh, as a fan to watch for excitement-wise?
Yeah.
Look, Norlander's on HQ.
I'd rather have... he's blown his nose on HQ as we sit here. I'd rather have, from a fan standpoint, to watch as exciting, you'd probably like to take Murray.
But just from a
quarterback...
You're a Dolphins fan. What do you want your team to do in this draft? What do you want your team to do this offseason?
Get it right?
No. But specifically, you're Chris Greer. What would be your?
I wouldn't put my rebuild on a 5'10" quarterback.
But you have the 13th pick. What are you doing? You can do the free agency. You can do a quarterback draft. You can do both. Neither. What are you doing?
Neither.
What are you rolling with in 2019? Tannehill?
Bridgewater.
Oh well, that's a free agent.
You're saying just okay? Yeah. I'm not paying him big money though.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm getting stopgap until I find the right guy.
And that's not in this draft?
No, I don't. I think this draft is quarterback.
You like Drew Lock though? What if he's there at 13?
I probably would. I think this draft class is average at best for quarterbacks.
I think this draft class is average in general.
This draft class is good.
What? No, it's good. But
no, this draft class is good.
No, I'm not.
It's just average because the quarterbacks are. Everybody pings draft class because of the
right. I'm not insulting the draft class. I'm saying that
you just said it's not good.
You did.
I didn't say
again.
It's not
this
good.
Is like last
are
night.
You
never know.
Liar, Pete?
Yes.
I said that here's the unique qualities of this draft class. The top tier talent. There's not a huge group of elite discernible talent at the top. I think from basically like 3 to 70 is pretty, it's going to fluctuate pretty wildly. Like I think there are going to be very few mock drafts.
Where was the top tier talent last year?
Going in.
Quarterback. 4 quarterbacks.
Were they all top tier talent, or were they forced up the board because
they were top tier talent?
No, right. Josh Allen, well,
if they're top
Lamar
tier,
Jackson.
If Josh Rosen's top tier talent, why are you getting rid of him to get a 5'10" quarterback? I mean, you just said that, right?
Because of the system.
Desperation's a stinky cologne, Pete.
It's a bad move. So, Barkley was a top tier talent, no question.
Mm-hmm. Saquon, yeah.
Yeah, no question. But there's top tier talent in this draft.
There's no
top tier running.
Well, they're
back.
Talking about
not
Josh
top
Jackson.
Tier skill positions. Skill are not positions top tier.
There's no Roquan Smith or Leighton Vander Esch out there.
There's a Devin White.
Is he?
And there's
he's not as good as those guys.
He might be.
Yeah. How do you know?
He just, might be.
Where would he rank compared to those guys?
He's probably right there with him at 10, 11.
10 to 15. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The pass rushers are way better in this draft.
Pass rushers are better.
Way
defensive
better.
Interior defensive line.
Deep. The offensive line is better. The
tight end, that's right.
Tight end's better. So you're just
he's talking
just,
about kickers and punters, Pete.
No, he's talking about skill players and quarterbacks is what you talk about, which is how people end up grading drafts.
In the past few years, there has typically been like a clear cut number one guy.
We have it.
Number one quarterback?
No, number one
Nick
guy.
Bosa.
Is Nick Bosa the transformational prospect that we thought Myles Garrett might be. And I know
yes.
He is. He is?
Yes.
No questions about him?
Yes.
Tons of upside?
Yes. As long as he's healthy.
The only question with him is injuries. The only question with Myles Garrett was he played the tuba or whatever. He played a rope
played
poetry.
The tuba.
Poetry. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to think of the 2000.
Why don't you get your flashlight on? You had it on yesterday, too.
I keep accidentally turning it on. The
problem is whenever a draft class doesn't have elite quarterbacks or elite star skill players, people ping the draft. Okay, this might be one of the best center drafts we've seen in a long time.
You think, yeah, Brinson should have been all over that.
There's no Quentin Nelson.
Huh?
Quentin Nelson.
Garrett
no
Bradbury.
Quentin Nelson.
What about Garrett Bradbury?
There's no Quentin Nelson.
Well, we'll see. Dalton Reisner.
No,
if he
there's
moves
no
inside,
Quentin Nelson, dude.
We'll see.
There's no Derwin James. Like last year,
there's no safety that size. The safety class isn't.
Last year there was Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick. There were like 10 to 12 guys who were blue chip. There were 6 or 7 blue chip prospects. I don't think that there are those guys in this draft.
So I mean, it's not.
Well, that's just because he fell doesn't mean he's not a blue chip prospect.
You got three for sure. The tackle from Florida is a blue chip prospect.
Juwan
Taylor.
Yes, no doubt.
But who's the three for sure?
Allen Williams and Boza.
You think those guys are blue chip?
Blue chips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blue chips.
Okay.
Rashawn Gary's an insane
athlete.
He's an insane athlete.
He might not even go in the first round.
That's not true.
He might not even go in the first round. I'm telling you. His tape doesn't tell you.
It doesn't look
right.
But I mean, he's.
So what? You're going to draft him based on his athletic
ability?
I'm not.
The team's like some of the athleticism.
He might not go in the first round.
He's going in the first round, Pete.
I'm telling you, he might not. Where's he rank on the pass rusher list?
I have him down. For me.
Okay.
But you have it.
Boza.
Yeah.
Allen.
Yeah.
Then who?
Probably Ja'Kai and then Brian Burns.
Ja'Kai, Burns, and then Sweat. And then Gary.
I think he's a better athlete than Sweat.
But he's not a better player than Sweat. So
he's who would you have, Nick Bosa or Bradley Chubb?
Bosa.
Yeah.
Bosa.
I'd rather have Chubb.
Nick Bosa is unreal when he's
healthy on the
field.
What do you have against him?
I like Nick Bosa. I love Joey when he came out. But again, you look at that draft class, right? When you had Joey Bosa, Zeke Elliott.
The father got hurt in college. I'm in the NFL. They got hurt. Both of them have been hurt. You worry about that? Is there something in the genes or something? You worry about it?
There might be. I'm trying to find.
Would you worry about that?
No.
Should we be worried about it? It's just a coincidence, right? It can't be anything more.
But I think if you're Steve Keim, you draft Nick Bosa, you can sleep well at night. But
you're right.
You're doing all this crazy stuff with the quarterbacks. I don't know.
But not again if you are able to flip Rosen for.
But doesn't that reflect poorly on you as an evaluator when you get rid of Rosen 11 and a half months later?
I don't think so if you're trying to appease Cliff Kingsbury and you're going all in on him.
All right,
didn't try to appease Cliff Kingsbury when they hired his staff. They hired his defensive staff for him. They didn't appease him too much in that process.
No, but to your point, though, about admitting you made a mistake, they made a mistake on Steve Wilkes.
No, God, 100%, yeah.
This wouldn't be out of character for them.
I also think that...
To just say that the 2018 season was a wash and sore.
My theory on the Cardinals, too, is that Michael Bidwell, the president and CEO, saw for how the Cardinals were very bad under his dad. Terrible. For a long time. And when Bruce Arians and Steve Keim came in and took over and Michael put them in, the Cardinals rose into sort of one of the better franchises in the NFC.
I got some breaking news.
NFC, hold on.
What do you guys think DK Metcalf ran the 40 and unofficially?
4.5.
No. It's low. It's like 4.3. It's 4.3. Look at Ryan's face.
what do you think he ran?
Is it 4.3?
Well, Jamie hasn't guessed yet.
4.3
unofficial.
Ooh.
Look at Pete just lit up.
That's
he's a top 10 pick.
Top 10 pick. Yeah.
There we go.
That's Julio.
There's another one. That's right.
That's Julio.
There's another blue chipper.
That's Julio.
Brady said to point out that he thinks DK Metcalf is a Terrell Owens clone.
That's pretty good comparison.
I like Josh
Gordon.
Said.
Brady was texting Brady.
He's a little bigger than T.O.
He's a little bigger than everybody, right?
Yeah. He's taller than T.O.
He's like if T.O. Anquan Boldin and...
6'3", I think it changed.
Dude, T.O. and David Boston had a baby.
He's not not the girly man.
He's not the girly man.
I don't like the David Boston comparison because it just insinuates...
It's a bad comparison.
Speaking of David Boston...
You don't want to be David Boston.
Right,
if you were a professional NFL player, would you take steroids?
Yes.
Pete didn't even hesitate.
And to ask that question?
HGH.
I take
HGH because they don't detect it.
Right, they don't bother testing.
And then when they detect something new, then you get something else.
I don't think Ryan. Ryan would not take steroids because he would be like he would feel bad that he was cheating the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Jamie would be worried about his personal health, and Pete's like
I'm going
for the give me those
it,
needles.
If it makes me more money over the course of the career, I'm shooting. So
what
would
percent
you?
Of, what percent of
so would you, dude?
Yeah, no kidding.
You wouldn't if you were going to make if you were going to make $10 million without taking the steroids,
I'm
$20
like
million or $20 million taking the steroids. What are you doing?
Like Jamie. I'm worried about the long term effects.
No, no.
I would take $10 million. What do I need $20 million for? $10 million's plenty.
Not after you pay your agent, your family, and everybody
else.
I would
be like Richard Sherman. I don't need an agent.
We're gonna find.
Would you take him?
I would. I would. Based on your scenario,
$10 million.
You'd walk into my house and I'd have one of those little NutriBullet shake things with just a big jug of HGH. I'd be waking up every morning HGH shake.
Doing push-ups.
Let's go. Take the jacket off. It's time.
Doesn't Sly Stallone?
I'm not doing push-ups.
Come on.
Doesn't Sly Stallone take HGH?
Well,
he says he admits it.
I'm not doing push-ups.
You were bragging.
Come on,
you did
Will.
50. We're just asking for 20.
20. Come on. I'll start the clock. Here we go.
Guys, this is a podcast.
Here we go.
Nobody can see this.
I'm going to record it.
You can't see it.
No one wants to see it.
Come on, Will.
So
I think he could get 20.
In a minute?
Yeah. I don't think there's any question. I think he could get 20 in 30 seconds.
Oh, that I would.
Let's go. You guys both do it together. You guys both do it together. Same time.
We didn't finish talking about, by the way, you, Sue.
I think Andy will do, our producer. Our producer, Andy Hecht, will do twice as many as you.
Tell your pastor to come over here.
Let's go, Will.
All right, hold on. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. I don't even know what we just talked about. What have we talked about? What is going on here?
Dolphins? Talk about Dolphins.
All right, come on. Let's go. You and Andy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and watch Andy do...
And you.
50, I'm not doing push-ups against this sculpted Adonis.
Let's go. Come on.
No, I'm not doing push-ups. We are taking a break, and then we will bring on Chris
Capasso. Hit pause.
To get his opinions on this draft. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. Quick commercial break. Chris Capasso joining us now. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, Will?
How you doing? Welcome to the Combine. Oh, well, you've been at the Combine for a while now.
Yeah.
I really don't like it when they do the bench press in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah. What's your takeaways from the, I guess this is Saturday. We're recording this on Saturday afternoon. Wide receivers and quarterbacks are running. Quarterbacks are throwing. What's your big takeaway from Saturday's action at the Combine?
That the wide receiver class, which I've liked since September, thought it was loaded with a lot of big receivers, did the exact opposite that what we saw from the running backs, who were really disappointing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really slow, yeah. And all these big, 6'5", 220, or 6'3", and up, 220, 225 wide receivers, ran really fast.
Yeah.
Ryan
was
Butler,
just geeking out about, did you see DK Metcalf?
4-3-3.
Hey,
let me show you guys, obviously podcast listeners can't see this, but this is the Draft Network guys watching DK Metcalf's 40 time.
Somebody recorded that?
Losing it, probably.
Yeah, so this is the our guys at the Draft Network seeing the 4-3-3 and just going. It's like they won the lottery. It's
tackle
like,
them.
Yeah.
It's like someone hit a last-second shot in a basketball game.
Wait, but, like, isn't DK Metcalf, like, the consensus
number one? Remember, what was the over-under?
I said if he was under 4-5.
I thought that'd be good because he's so big.
If he's under 4'5", he's going to be a top 10
By the way, a couple other 40 times came in. By the time you listen to this, you'll know them, but we're finding out in real time. What do you think Deebo Samuel did?
You're disappointed, so I'll say 4'6".
He looks low on film, 4'6".
4'5", unofficial. So that's good for him.
That is good for him, definitely.
Riley Ridley, Pete's guy, he loves a lot. I think he's a great route runner, possible late first-round guy. What do you think he ran?
4.49
Mid-4.4s.
4.61
Whoa.
So that's a lot of moving and shaking. I mean, that's what Kelvin Harmon, your guy, ran.
4.6, I think.
Yeah, so there's some 4.61 some things to figure out.
Hakeem Butler was under, was 4.49 and how big he is.
Yeah, that's.
A.J. Brown was under 4.5, which is good for him. He looks kind of like a running back on the field. So the wide receivers just really blew it out of the water, I think, here.
Yeah.
In the,
how many wide receivers do you think ultimately go in the first round?
Well, after this weekend, because I think a lot of the thought was, oh, these guys are bigger, but they're slow. N'Keal Harry's not that fast. They all ran well. I can see four wide receivers maybe going in the first
round. Who are the four?
DK Metcalf is locked in the first
DK round. DK Metcalf.
I have him as a third-round pick, but go ahead.
I think. Really?
What'd you say?
I said I have him as a third-round pick. I was kidding.
Who, Metcalf?
I can see Hakeem Butler. I mean, with that size, the length, the catch radius to run under 4.5. I think N'Keal Harry back end of the first round because people thought he was going to run like 4.7.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And I think A.J. Brown, he's so good after the catch, and he's big, he's muscular. He kind of fits what the NFL wants from receivers being great after the catch.
Kelvin Harmon's going in the first round.
Yeah.
4.6, though. That's going to be a question. And I think.
But I don't, like, why isn't Keem Harry, why are we like.
I'm not on the.
We're rubbing his. We're praising Keem.
They're cheering for you.
That's the bench press. Somebody did 29 reps. Let's settle down here, all right?
Those are linebackers. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And Keem Harry did 4.59 on his 40. We're geeking
I'm not
out.
Crazy about
but
it.
But, like, 4.59 is the same as 4.61.
I don't disagree.
It's the same.
I still like Kelvin Harmon, but I think Butler's a good point by Chris, and also there's Marquise Hollywood Brown. I know he's hurt, but what's his health situation? A lot of teams like A.J. Brown. I don't love A.J. Brown, but he's 6'2". He's a monster. I mean, his first unofficial was 4.57, somehow got down to 4.49 or whatever.
Yeah, that's weird.
But whatever. I mean, teams like him. So I could see those guys, three or four guys, ending up in the first round.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is that when you look at this draft and you start to look at the bottom half of the first round.
Teams that need wide receivers.
That's what
I was
getting
at, too. The Eagles need wide receivers. The Ravens need wide receivers. I wouldn't be stunned if the Seahawks were involved. What?
That cheer was for Nick Bosa, 29 reps.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you get hurt doing them?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers could use a wide receiver. The Packers, I wouldn't be stunned if they took a playmaker there. The Patriots need wide receivers. The Raiders are going to take a wide receiver. I think you can argue that the Colts need help a wide receiver.
A lot of teams there.
Yeah. I mean, so I think that we could really see a jammed.
The Raiders could get Kelvin Harmon at 35. Now, that would be amazing if he happened to hang around there.
If the Raiders got two defensive players.
They get
a tight end.
Yeah, tight end.
And then Kelvin Harmon. And with their four picks, that would be a nice haul.
Right.
Definitely.
Who else is a big winner from the combine, Ryan?
I'm actually thinking. So let's say you get Quinnen Williams as the Raiders, these four picks. Quinnen Williams, Montez Sweat. You get Noah Fant, and then you get Kelvin Harmon.
That's an unbelievable haul.
What do you, if you're a 5-1 team in 2018?
See, but this is my point to Prisco earlier when I was saying it's the draft to me. I would rather have 24 and 27. Than number two.
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
And like, the draft chart wouldn't say, let's trade 24 or 27 for two. Like,
two players are better than one player.
Right. Like, if I were the Cardinals, I would call the Raiders and be like, look, I will give you the number one overall pick for 24, 27, and 35. And I think that you would come away with three players. I think there are three players who are in the top 35 that are going to be more valuable to your team
than the number one player
in the number one pick.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm a huge proponent of trading back, and I think it's easy for us to say, oh, teams should always just trade back. I think if you're 25 reps for – who was that? Did you hear that, Ryan?
I don't know, but Joey only did 24 reps 2 years.
Nick.
So, look, I want to point this out. No, Joey, when he was drafted a few years ago, he only did 24. His brother Nick did 29 tonight. So Andy Isabella is a guy I love out of UMass, 5'8". He was a sprint champion in Ohio high school, but beat Denzel Ward in the 100. So we were talking to our boss, John Breach, and I were talking to our boss, Port, the other day, who
name drop.
Ran track growing up, and his son runs track. And we looked up Andy Isabella's
Port,
track.
Port is a podcast listener, of course.
Yeah, that's why I'm telling the story. So Isabella ran track in high school. We looked up what he ran, and it was under 11, I think. It's like 10.5, 10.6, something like that. And Port said, that's not going to be a 4.3, because there were conversations about Isabella running a 4.3.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a 4.4 something. Isabella ran a 4.46.
So, wow.
Sprint champ, 4.46. Port nailed it. But it's still a guy I like a lot.
And that's, I mean, it shows that not necessarily what happens in high school translates, because I think Denzel Ward ran 4.31 last
year.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so not a great time for Andy Isabella, but if you like him, then you just like him. It's not like you're not going to drop
him.
You guys are
draft nerds by trade. Give me some hidden gems that have done well at the combine who could be boosting their stock. Not necessarily.
Oh, Rock Armstead, I love. Raquel Armstead. I talk about him a lot. The Temple running back.
Yeah.
Ran 4.45 the other day when the running backs ran. You know, he's the guy that had the sack during the game against Tulsa last year. But he's a hard, fast runner. I like him a lot.
Staying at the same spot, Justice Hill.
Huge game.
I obviously loved Mason Rudolph last year. I liked James Washington last year. They go to the NFL. Everyone kind of forgets about Justice Hill. He stays at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. He actually averaged more yards per carry this year than he did last year, 5.9 to 5.5. To run 4.4 flat and have a 40-inch vertical, that's what Saquon Barkley did. I mean, he was a lot bigger, but
sure.
Not a lot of running backs can hit that mark in the vertical and in the 40. So I think with a lot of the running backs not doing very well yesterday, Justice Hill did a lot for himself.
Mm. All right, what about on the defensive side of the ball, some lower tier guy, like some not lower tier, just off the radar guys? Because I mean, I think part of the problem with this draft class, and this is sort of my point, was that like we spend all this time talking about Kyler Murray, but there's a lot more to the draft class than that.
I'll start. Charles Amenihu from Texas.
Yep,
he hasn't worked out yet, but everyone was talking about Montez Sweat, how long he was. He was almost 6'6". He had these crazy long arms. Amenihu is as tall, longer, had like an 80 or 36-inch arms, which I've like never seen before.
Yeah, that's big.
And like 85-inch wingspan or like 85 and change. So he's someone that didn't have a great Texas career early on, but was pretty good as a senior. And at 6'6", 280 with those arms, teams are going to really like him. If he tests well, I think second round makes a lot of sense for him.
Okay.
Yeah, Minihu, I talked to him in the Senior Bowl, and he said, I'm a bigger version of Chandler Jones.
Which and I think makes sense, yeah.
And when you talk to guys, you say, okay, what was your best game? You go back and watch it. He gave me three best games. The Baylor game was his game to watch.
DK's running again.
All right.
The TV behind us. Just turn around.
You watch it.
He is oh my God, he's fast.
Yeah, 4.38.
4.38.
So he's probably locked into the mid 4.3s. Wow.
All right. He just ran a 4.340.
He's going to be the first offensive skill position player off the board.
Because
there was Hockenson or Fant would maybe be there. It's going to be Metcalf.
I think it'd still be Hockenson.
You think?
Ran 4.7.
Depends on who's. Hockenson ran 4.7.
4.7.1.
I'm not worried about it.
You know what Zach Ertz ran?
4.7.
4.76.
Yeah. He's a bigger tight end. My thing is that I don't know that when you look at the group of teams at the top that there's a immediate need for a wide receiver unless you think the Raiders are going to take DK Metcalf at 4.
Yeah, I don't know if they take him at 4, but if you get Kelvin Harmon at 35, I think.
So let's assume that Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray are both going in the top 10. Let's also assume that Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Allen.
That's five guys.
That's your five guys. So I think you can start looking at number 6. There's five more spots, and DK Metcalf is probably going to go in that stretch if there's a team up there who needs a wide receiver.
Sure.
I don't know that somebody trades up to get.
Giants could trade Odell Beckham and draft DK Metcalf.
Right, exactly. But the Giants and Jaguars aren't taking
a wide receiver there.
A wide receiver at 6 and 7.
Lord, you'd hope not.
I mean, I guess the Jaguars could. I mean, that would be pretty stupid, right?
And it's like Metcalf.
Jets could at 7.
Jets could take him at 7.
Yeah.
That's a good landing spot.
They have a lot of needs, but
they need to get, well, and also, like, a lot depends on what happens with Antonio Brown.
You know who really needs him?
The Bills. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go line first, but they could certainly pick him at 10.
Any of those teams that drafted a quarterback last year
all need receivers.
All need receivers.
You know who else would love him at 10? Oh, not 10. Where are the Buccaneers? I had this in a mock trade. They're up. They're at 5. They might take him at 5.
They got Bruce Arians now.
Yeah, for James to throw bombs to. That's all he does, throw bombs, Bruce Arians.
And
they have Mike Evans and DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf is like, obviously he's this like alien type, but his film is not like Kelvin Johnson, Julio Jones, like were like guys that went big athletic receivers that went in the top 10. A decent amount of drops. I don't think he ran more than a bubble screen or go route at Ole Miss.
Yep.
I thought AJ Brown was way better after the catch. Linearly explosive, yes, but I think he's a little bit raw. Like you're gonna be enticed by his athleticism, but
that's
he's
why
a little
it makes
bit
sense
raw.
For the Raiders at four.
Yeah,
like that would be the Al Davis pick.
Mm-hmm.
Is
for sure
DK Metcalf at four.
What other receiver? Yep, go ahead.
What's that?
Redskins. I'm just going through the list of teams.
Redskins have to take a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they got someone's got.
No, they signed Teddy Bridgewater. It makes sense to go get DK Metcalf.
What were you gonna say?
Oh no, I'm sure. To me, he has solidified his spot in the top half of the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my number one receiver coming in, and that ain't changed.
No, that's fine. I mean, I joked that Kelvin Harmon might be wide receiver one. I think it would be insane to pick somebody
Kelvin
over
still
DK
my wide
Metcalf.
Receiver
but
right now.
To your point, like, is he going to, like, would he fit in John Gruden's system where you move
West
guys?
Coast?
Right. No, not at all.
Not really.
You move them all around to different spots?
Not saying that I think Metcalf is going to be a bad player at the next level, but you will see in April because Metcalf's going to go ahead of Kelvin Harmon, who I think is a much more refined,
yeah,
polished.
For sure, for sure.
So it shows you what the NFL prioritizes in terms of the draft.
That always happens.
Kelvin Harmon is probably going to go in the top of the second, and it will probably have more of an instant impact right away. He may never be the, you know, he may never have 1,400
right.
yards with 12
people
touchdowns.
People care about upside.
Yes.
Right.
But I like Kelvin Harmon a lot because I know what I'm getting from him day one. I'm not worried about scheme fit or, you know, can he do
right.
this, can he do that. Metcalf, I think you can have those
and like
questions.
Is John Gruden going to be capable of saying, well, DK Metcalf doesn't fit our scheme and passing on him?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe at four. Maybe.
Yeah. But I like the sort of the scenario we went through because you get – if you get Noah Fant, you don't have to worry about Jared Cook. Derek Carr has some weapons. You address a lot of your needs. I mean, you're counting on a lot of rookies, but it'll be an improvement over what you had last year.
My question with the Raiders is, Mike Mayock, like, how much power does he have? Like, he kind of said, like, right away, like, oh, is this John Gruden's team?
Yeah, it's Gruden's
but
team.
But I've always thought of Mayock as being a pretty level-headed evaluator, but, like, if Gruden's stuff. Like, what is Mayock saying?
I think Gruden's going to lean on Mayock's evaluations.
Okay.
To move around, to make the board.
So I think if you're a Raiders fan, you're a little bit happier now after what you went through in the offseason because you have Mike Mayock as your GM now?
If Mayock's right, I mean,
well,
I
no,
guess.
But I mean, like, I think if you're thinking, okay, it's John Gruden steering the ship, you're kind of like, look what he did with this roster, and how is he evaluating players now as opposed to when he was a coach 10 years ago?
But, like, it's so different, like, evaluating a class full of prospects and knowing all about the prospects is entirely different from actually making the selections
True.
And pulling in the guys.
Yep.
And not to mention, look, here's the reality. If the Raiders draft three bums in the first round, you know who's going to get the blame for it?
Mike Mayock.
It ain't going to be John Gruden. Yeah, Hugh Jackson. That's right. Yeah. Hugh Jackson did it. All right. Anybody else you guys want to cover prospect-wise before we get
out? Oh, you mentioned a late-round guy or a guy that people don't necessarily know about, but actually I like a lot. They haven't run yet, the defensive backs, but Justin Lane is a cornerback out of Michigan State, converted wide receiver. He's like 6'2", 6'3". And you watch him play, man, he could be really good. You know, teams now like long cornerbacks and all that. So
yeah.
See how he runs and all the conversations we have about that. But he's a guy that I want to see how he does.
And he's someone in that Ohio State game. That to me was one of Dwayne Haskins' worst games. They still won the game, obviously, but Justin Lane was,
in that game.
Two or three pass breakups against some really speedy wide receivers where I think when I went into that game thinking, oh, this is a bigger, maybe slower cornerback, he was, you know, all those fast receivers for the Buckeyes, he was like glue on them. He's got long arms, and like Ryan said, he's like 6'2 or 6'3, so middle of the draft, I think you could get a starter if you want to play zone and just let him get his hands on the ball.
A starter in the middle of the draft is good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get out of here then because I have to go catch a plane to Atlanta and then back to Raleigh to go see my family, who hopefully still loves me. I love you, listeners. Thanks for a great week in Indianapolis. We'll be back today, Sunday, of course, you're listening. We'll be back on Monday. Again, we'll have Ryan Wilson on. He's never escaping this podcast for as long as he lives. Chipasso, we'll have you back, of course, soon. And thanks for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review. Talk to you guys tomorrow.